Hello, and welcome to the New Hope Church podcast. Whether you are a member of our church family, either in person or online, or just checking us out for the first time, we believe that you belong here at New Hope Church, and we hope that this message speaks to you today. Don't forget to check us out online at newhopechurch.tv, and we'd love to connect with you on social media at New Hope Church TV. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
I want to say Happy New Year to everybody at our 288 campus, Friendswood campus, Alvin campus, Webster campus, Pearland campus, online campus, and everybody at the Weibo Bible Church in Weibo, Montana. I'm hoping that you had a very Merry Christmas, and I'm so honored to be in God's house with you today as we're standing on the doorstep, basically, of a new year about to walk through toward whatever God has for us in 2024. But before we take that step, I just want to acknowledge something, and that is that I know that 2023 was a tough year for some people when it comes to losing someone that they love. I know we've had a number of people who've lost loved ones in 2023, including just this past week. We had three people, part of our church, that passed away. So if you're dealing with that right now, our hearts go out to you. Our prayers are with you. Would you, church family, remember to say a prayer for those folks who are going through it right now? We're supposed to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. And we have church family members who are going through a tough time right now, including at the Weibo Bible Church. A 13-year-old young lady was tragically killed in a horse riding accident, and then an 8-year-old in our church family as well, as in addition to a great man in our church also passed this week. But I'm just telling you, tough times for some people, but I guess, you know, the underlying good news here is that even though we're going to grieve in this world, just like it says in Thessalonians, we don't have to grieve like everybody else who has no hope. That as Christians, even though it's tough, we're still going to grieve, correct? We're still going to grieve. It's still tough. But in the back of our minds, and hopefully our church family can sense this now, we can have hope because we're going to be in heaven someday and we're going to see our loved ones again, which is, you know, what this is all about, okay? So prayers for those folks. I'm glad that you're in God's house this weekend, and I've noticed as I've looked around, I see some shirts that say Church on Thursday, Church on Thursday. Have you noticed those shirts? Everybody that has a Church on Thursday at all of our campuses, everybody that has a Church on Thursday t-shirt, would you please stand up? All of our campuses, stand up. Go ahead, stand up, guys. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Now, maybe you're wondering, like, okay, you can sit down. Maybe you're wondering, What does that mean when you saw one of those shirts? If you're brand new to our church family, we have church on Thursday night, and it's pretty awesome. Amen? Anybody go on Thursday? It's pretty awesome, and so they'll be the first to tell you, those people with those shirts on, if you need to ask them any questions about Thursday night, they'll tell you that it's awesome and that we have lobster and we have filet mignon every Thursday night. Free of charge, they'll tell you those things. Those things aren't true, but they'll tell you those things. And hopefully what can happen is over the next few weeks, because church always gets busy in January. It's usually really not busy today. It's usually dead. And if you look around at your campus, you see it's not dead because God is doing something in our church family. So there's going to be more people next week, So if you want to join us on Thursday evening, every Thursday evening, 7 p.m., same service as it is on Sunday, but then you can sleep in a little bit on Sunday. And so join us on Thursday if you can, all right? Today I'm going to attempt the impossible on this last Sunday of the old year. I'm going to give you 7 reasons to put Jesus first in 2024. And I say I'm going to attempt the impossible because there's so many more reasons to put Jesus first in 7, but I'm going to limit myself to 7 because I'm limiting myself to one passage of Scripture. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 if you want to join me there in your Bible, Colossians chapter 1. And I don't mean to spoil the end of the sermon for you, but I'll say this up front. If you put Jesus first, you're going to have more peace, more fulfillment, more satisfaction in this life. I'm not going to say your life is going to be problem-free because that's not a promise that Jesus gives us. The promise he gives us is that sometimes it'll get tough here. but he's going to go with you every step of the way, and he's going to make sense out of the madness while we're here, and many of you already know that. So let's just dig in. Here are seven reasons from the text to put Jesus first in 2024. First one is this: Jesus qualified you. He qualified you. Now, there's not one person in church today, including myself, who on our own was qualified to be accepted and included in God's family. But what do you know? Here we are, and in his house, loved and cherished by him, accepted and included in his family through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm so very thankful for that fact today. In Colossians chapter 1, the text that we're going to go through today, the Apostle Paul's writing this letter to this church that is doing well. Church is doing fantastic. And he begins, I'm going to paraphrase the first few verses. He begins by saying, "You guys are doing great. It's amazing. People are telling me about how well things are going there at the church. Way to go, way to go, way to go." But then he says this in verse 9. "And so, from the day we heard how well you're doing, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So, again, the people at the church in Colossae were doing well, but as you'll see in the text, just a few verses down from here, they were not qualified to be doing so well on their own. They were not qualified. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. Let's say that you're on an airplane and you're traveling somewhere, and something happens to the pilot. He's no longer, or she is no longer, able to fly the plane, and so they need somebody to fly the plane, but nobody on the plane is qualified. But they take a vote, and for some odd reason, they choose you. The whole plane's like, that's the person right there that should fly this plane, and so reluctantly, you get up and you start walking down the aisle as people are patting you on the back as you go to the cockpit to fly the plane. Let me just ask you a question. At that point in the process, would you want less prayer or would you want more prayer? How many of you vote for more? Everybody vote for more. Okay, so now let's say that you're in contact with the tower. You're talking to the tower. And the tower's telling you what to do. They're like, "You need to increase your altitude, pull back. And you pull back and on the steering wheel or whatever they call it in the plane. You pull back and you go up. And they say, "Now you need to bank left." And you bank left and it works. And now you need to bank right. Now you need to decrease your speed. We're setting you up for the airport that's in the next city. And you're doing fantastic. You're hearing this in the headphones. You're doing fantastic. Okay, now question. At that point in the process, would you want more prayer or would you want less prayer? How many of you still vote for more? More, even though things are going well, right? But let me tell you what happens to a whole lot of people spiritually. They're listening. They're listening to the tower. You with me? Things are going well. And so a lot of people at that point think that they can rely on him less. But the reality is, the better things are going in our lives, the more we need him and the more we need to rely on him. Somebody say amen to that. Is that true? Okay, so here we go again. "And so from the day we heard that you're doing well, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." By the way, these are great things to pray for people that you love. Verse 12, "Giving thanks to the Father who has," what? "Qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints." So let me tell you a truth about every person in church today. Once again, you are unqualified. You're unqualified. Unqualified when judged by your own merits. But because of Jesus, God the Father has qualified you. And even though today you may feel unqualified, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and are following him, you're listening to the tower, guess what? You're qualified. You're qualified. Why? Because he literally qualified you by taking away your sin and shame and giving you wisdom from above, which means that the wisest thing that any one of us could do in this coming year would be to keep listening to Jesus and keep him first, even when things are going well. Amen? Second reason to put Jesus first in 2024. Jesus gave you an eternal inheritance. He gave you an eternal inheritance. This is better than a new car, better than a new job, better than anything you'll get here on this earth. This is an inheritance that you can only qualify for if you're in the family of God. You got to be in the family to get the inheritance. Verse 12 again says, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What if somebody called you up and they said, hey, listen, I'm attorney so-and-so, and you had an uncle that you did not know, but he knows who you are, and he won $5 billion in the Powerball, and he died, but he thinks that family is the most important thing, and so even though you all didn't know each other, he put you in his will. And so he wanted us to draft a check, you know, and to send you $1 billion, $1 billion. And some of you are like, 2024, baby, come on. Come on, come on, uncle that I don't know. How many of you, if you got that phone call, how many of you would probably stay home from work for a few days watching the mailbox? Anybody stay home? I mean, you'd be greeting the post person, the postman every day. Say, hey, how's it going, man? What's up? You got anything for me in there? Anything at all. And then you would be thankful when it arrived. Well, guess what? You have a Savior who is very rich in all the spiritual blessings and the eternal blessings that really, really matter. And he died, and he gave you an inheritance that will never fade, spoil, rust, decay, that can never be taken from you. It's in heaven, and it will last for eternity. The check is right here. The check is right here. He signed it. And you get it because Jesus loved you enough to include you in his family. And so now you get the family inheritance, which is yet another reason to put Jesus first in 2024. Here's another one from the text. Number three, Jesus rescued, or as the text will say, delivered you. Delivered you. All of us at one time were in utter imminent peril. And I think many of us have no idea the times when God redirected our steps so that the devil wouldn't take us out. I mean, if some of you already know, you can look back on your life and you're like, I shouldn't even be here right now. Anybody want to admit that? I shouldn't even be here right now. Okay, some of you understand this, but there's others of us that maybe we don't know the times when God messed up our plans so that he could get us around the danger and destruction that was waiting for us, the trap that the devil had set for us, times that we were not aware of. But in his mercy, he rescued us, or he delivered us. Of course, the greatest rescue of all time was when Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross so that we could be redeemed and forgiven. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So in Jesus, we have redemption. In Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin. So because of Jesus, we were rescued or delivered from the wrong team, the domain of darkness. And you know that? We were all on the wrong team at one time, not even realizing that we were playing for the wrong team, playing for a team that was plotting our destruction. But through his own blood, Jesus welcomed us onto Team Jesus in the kingdom of God. He literally rescued us from death, which is another reason to put him first in 2024. And here's another one from the text. This is number four. Jesus shows us God the Father. He shows us God the Father. A whole lot of people want to know God. They want to know what God is like, and which is a good thing that people want to know that. The good news of the Bible is this. We can know what God is like because we can see God the Father by looking at God the Son, Jesus. Paul says this in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He's the image of the invisible God. So he is what we can see. And this lines up perfectly with what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 14, verse 9. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So he says, if you look at me, you can see the Father. Which is kind of awesome that you and I don't have to be in the dark about what God is like. We can know God by knowing Jesus, which is why at this church we are passionate about our mission. And I hope that you know what our mission is. If you've been going here for a while, I'm going to get you started, and then if you know it, you say it, okay? Our mission is to? Okay, to know Christ and make him known. So if you're brand new and you didn't understand that, the mission, to know Christ and to make him known. Because we at this church want people to know God. We want them to know God. That's why we preach Jesus at this church. Thank you, Lord, for showing us yourself in Jesus. And then the fifth reason that we put Jesus first, or we should put him first in 2024, is this. God the Father gave him preeminence. God the Father gave him preeminence. God the Father made sure that Jesus was above all and Lord over all. Verse 15, once again, he is the image of the invisible God, the what? Firstborn of all creation. Now, this kind of doesn't almost make sense, but let me explain. This firstborn title is where a lot of religions sort of go off the rails, and Jehovah's Witnesses in particular interpret the word firstborn to mean first created. And they do so because it's consistent with their belief that Jesus is a created being. However, that error is corrected in the next verses, as you will see in just a few moments. But for this verse right here, it's important to note, firstborn in the Bible doesn't just mean birth order. It doesn't just mean birth order. It can also mean status, preeminence, supremacy. Let me give you a couple of examples to illustrate that. One is this. In the Old Testament, King David was the youngest of seven sons. You hear me? Youngest of seven sons. So was he the firstborn? No, you're not the firstborn. Far from it. Far from it. Youngest of seven sons, right? So he was the youngest of seven sons, definitely not the firstborn. However, God says this about him in Psalm chapter 89. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Again, not even remotely close to being the firstborn. So how does God make a guy who's not the firstborn the firstborn? Here's how. By giving him preeminence, or giving him the elevated or top spot. God is using this word as his rank. That's because firstborn does not always mean birth order in the Bible. It can mean status or preeminence. Here's another example. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, God said this about the nation of Israel. Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Was Israel the first nation? Not even close. There had been many nations that had risen up and had died away before Israel. But God was not saying they were the first nation, but they were the firstborn in status among the nations. They had preeminence above all others. And this reference to Jesus in Colossians as the firstborn means that he has absolute preeminence and status and rank above everyone else and above everything else. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is above it all, which is why he should be above it all in our lives as well. Amen. Right? Then number six, Jesus is Creator God. He's Creator God. Now, we see this fact several places in the Bible. In fact, in our Christmas series, we kind of unpacked John chapter 1 a little bit. And one of the verses that we read said this, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. That's out of John chapter 1. And here in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1, we read something very similar. Paul writes, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and what? And for him, which is another way of saying he made it all, so it's all for him. It belongs to him. This is his universe. He just lets us live here. Thank you very much. I read about a Christian college about 3 weeks ago in the news, a Christian college that was being attacked because people didn't like their adherence to, in their policies that they had, their adherence to biblical marriage, which is one man, one woman for life. And comments on social media toward those policies and toward that college were, my goodness, incredibly hateful. And at first pass, it did seem like they were attacking the college that had those policies. But in reality, if you just like step back a little bit and read the comments again, they were really directed at Jesus. Because Jesus is creator God. He's the one who designed us. He's the one who set things up the way they're set up. And so they were mad at Jesus and attacking Jesus. And but let me tell you something about Jesus. He can handle it, okay? He can handle it. In fact, I thought about it this way. He's not some like referee who made a bad call. And if we just scream at him enough, that they'll do a review and overturn the call. He's not that guy. He's not that referee, okay? He's not like that. He's not like nowadays you see people screaming like petulant children, you know, at rallies and so forth. And it's like, what do you hope to accomplish here today? It's like, what, really? Really? You're just screaming? But what happens is a lot of people screaming, then the authorities that have enacted some policy or whatever talk about it and they overturn it so that the petulant children will stop screaming. And I'm just going to tell you something. That's a wrong move. That's a wrong move. In fact, illustrate it this way. If you're a parent and your kid picks up a toy in a store and you're not going to buy that toy and you say, let's put the toy back because we're going to leave, and they scream and you buy the toy, you're a bad parent. You're a bad parent. Because guess what they're going to do next time? Scream some more. Right. So you got to hold the line if you're a parent, okay? Choose your battles wisely and hold the line. But nowadays, you know, people scream and things change because we got to stop them from screaming, you know? But guess what? Jesus doesn't change when people scream because they don't like it. And I say that because he's creator God, so he knows exactly how he created us. He knows exactly what's best for his creation because he is God. And the sooner that we realize that and let him be God, the better off we're going to be. Amen to that? Verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So he created all things. He put everything together. And he holds all things together. Now, I have a very literal interpretation of this passage that I have seen work out in my life time and time again. God holding things together in my life. A couple of illustrations. Back when we had like no money. Church is just barely starting off in the first years, if you've heard the story, you know, for like 6 years, we had like 75 people. So, I mean, but I enjoyed every minute of it. I'm not talking down about it, but I'm just saying we didn't have a lot of money at that time, not hardly anything. But we put God first. We put God first in our finances and everything. And I believe that's the key. When you put God first, he takes care of your stuff. Put him first, he takes care of your stuff. And so for us, we didn't have much, but we put God first. And so there was one time in particular, we needed a washing machine. And so we bought a washing machine for $50, okay? For $50 off of, out of the green sheet. Anybody remember the green sheet? Okay. Okay, and I got one more verse I want to show you here. If you look at the verses preceding this, Jesus says, I know that you need clothing, I know that you need food, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So he's going to take care of you. He's going to supply your needs if he's first. But then in addition to that, I feel like he holds those things together. So we bought that $50 washing machine from the green sheet, which was, if young people with us today, it's the precursor to Craigslist. If you don't know what that is, that's the precursor to Facebook Marketplace, which is, I don't know where we are now. I just go to Home Depot. But so we bought that $50 clothes washer, that washing machine, and it worked forever. It worked forever, and it was ugly. It was so ugly. But the person we bought it from said it worked, and it did, but it made noise, and it danced around the room. but it would not die. It would not die. And it just kept, you know, it just kept working and kept working and kept working. The only explanation I have for it is that we put Jesus first. He's like, I'm going to hold that thing together. I'm going to keep it in that room and I'm going to hold it together. And we finally ended up giving it away while it was still working to somebody else who needed one. And same thing with my little car I used to have. I had a Toyota Corolla when we moved to town, and I drove for 5 years with no AC in that car. 5 years, no AC in Houston. And which, if you have done that before, you know what to do. You roll down all the windows and you put a big gulp between your legs and you pray the light doesn't turn red, you know, so you just keep moving. That was me for 5 years right there. And just moving through town. The car wouldn't die, though. The car would not die. I wanted it to die. I wanted it to die so that I would be forced to get something a little better, but it would not die. I'm serious, it wouldn't die. We ended up giving it away to somebody who needed a car. But there was one time in particular, I'm in Pasadena running an errand, and I'm driving down the road, and it starts making this horrific sound from under the hood, like, just a real loud screaming, grinding noise coming from underneath the hood. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm just gonna keep driving. Any person in their right mind would have pulled over and opened up the hood, at least took a look or something, or you know, gone and pulled into a shop. I didn't. I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to drive this thing. If it dies on the way, at least I'll be closer to home when it dies. And I drove all the way home with that thing screaming from under the hood at me. Got to my house, parked in front of my house, and took the keys out, and I thought, well, that's it. That thing's dead. It's gone. Went in, called the shop that I always used, and just said, hey, my car is making this horrific noise, and I don't even think it'll start, you know. And he said, well, I'll send a wrecker. I said, well, in the morning, I'll try to start it. If I can start, I'll get it over there, okay? And so that's how we left it. Got up the next day, went out there. It fired up. No noise whatsoever. Ran, purred like a kitten. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try to make it to the shop. And I drove to the shop. It was running great. So I just drove right past the shop and went to work. And eventually, again, gave the car away, no AC, but still running fine. That's what I'm saying. In my life, and you may think that I'm nuts. I am nuts. Because here's what I believe with all my heart. You put God first, He holds your stuff together. You put God first, He holds your stuff together. Stuff that doesn't seem like it should hold together, He will hold together. In fact, there's some marriages in the room right now on our campuses. There's some marriages in the room right now that should have ended a long time ago. But you all made the decision to put Jesus first and to do what you could do. And you did those things and you're still together. You're still together. And there's no reasonable explanation for it other than Jesus holds all things together. When you put Him first, He holds all things together. He does what only He can do. You know, there's been a lot of talk over the past years about what holds an atom together. I don't know if you guys are into science or not, but I think this is very interesting. All matter is made up of atoms. And in an atom, there are protons that are positively charged, which is wild because like poles are supposed to, anybody know? Like poles repel, unlike poles attract. And so the protons are positively charged. And so really, they're supposed to repel each other. So according to science, every atom, which is in every bit of matter that we can see in this world, every atom should kind of fly apart in an instantaneous nuclear, I don't know if it'd be implosion or explosion, but they don't. They don't. Here we are, all matter is behaving because there's something holding every atom together. Something is keeping the universe from an existence-ending nuclear sort of explosion. Now, scientists have come up with theories throughout the decades, and the current one, I don't know, might be right, but the others have been disproven, and this one may or may not. I don't know. This one may be right. You can read about it for yourself. But whatever the force is that's keeping the parts of an atom playing well together and not disintegrating the universe in a flash, I'm thinking that Jesus is in control of whatever that something is. And I say that because verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." Is invisible a reference to the forces of nature that we cannot see? Next verse, "And in him all things hold together." Now, consider this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says that when God does remove his presence from the universe, that the heavens will disappear with a roar and the elements will be destroyed by fire. And for me, that's not difficult to comprehend because I believe it's as simple as this. Jesus is the Alpha and he's the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is the one who's holding all things together, and he is simply waiting for his Father to say when. But until then, all things around us are held together by him, including things in my life and yours. He is Creator God, which is another reason to put him first in 2024. Amen? Yeah. Then number 7. Jesus is leader of the church and Lord of all. He's leader of the church and Lord of all. See how I snuck 2 in on this last point here? So first of all, he's leader of the church, which is why I literally have zero hesitation asking people to be involved in the most important work on the earth, which is the work of the church. It's the bride of Christ. So there are a lot of people doing important things in our world today, and you know, more power to them. And I, you know, I read a lot about Elon Musk and, you know, wanting to take people to Mars and how they have meetings all the time about, you know, what it's going to be like when they get there and what clothes they're going to wear. They're already designing those things. Not able to get there yet, but who knows? So they're spending a lot of money, a lot of time trying to take people to Mars. Knock yourself out, Elon. Here at New Hope Church, we're trying to take people to heaven. And heaven is going to outlast Mars. You know that? I don't know. This blows my mind. This past year, we had 1,340 people go public with their faith in Jesus Christ through baptism. 1,340. That blows my mind. Never in my wildest imagination did I think that God would be able to do something like that through our church. But I think he's just getting started. He's just getting started. Lord, please give me more faith, okay? So, verse 18. "And he is the head of the body, the church." He's the head of the body, the church. So we always say we're Christ's hands and feet, you know? But he's the head, right? The head is where control for the body comes from. It's where the decisions are made. A body without a head is dead. A body part, which is what you and I are in this metaphor, a body part not attached to the body is dead, right? A body part that doesn't listen to the head is useless. And that's why I'm saying to you today, being a part of a local church, being engaged, helping, serving, giving, inviting, it is one of the highest callings on your life and mine. And I believe that. Let me just read the rest of these verses as we close out. And then I'm going to ask our campus pastors to go ahead and take the stage at this time because they're going to pray for us at the end. But here is the rest of that verse along with others that follow. "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be" what? Preeminent. That's a firstborn kind of status that we talked about there. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in your mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. So he qualified you, he gave you an inheritance, he rescued you or delivered you, he showed you, he shows you the Father. He has preeminence, he is above all, he is creator God, he is leader of the church, and he is Lord over all. Put Jesus first. Things go well in 2023, I'm happy for you. What should you do? Put Jesus first in 2024. Things tough in 2023, what should you do in 2024? Put Jesus first. Let him have his rightful place in your life. Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year. I hope I'll see you next week. We're gonna begin our new series, Up on the Roof. I cannot wait to preach to you about marriage and relationships. So come back next week, everybody. And don't forget about our Thursday services as well. Love you so much.
If you enjoyed the podcast, we encourage you to follow, share it with friends and family, or let us know by tagging us at New Hope Church TV on social media. We would love to connect with you. Thanks for listening.